that are online. We pray for you as well, and that you stay healthy, and you'll be back to joining us soon so we can all, again, celebrate as a family. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we're so thankful. We are a blessed country, a blessed nation, a blessed people, but most of all, we're blessed to be parts of your family. And brothers and sisters in Christ, and the family of believers is an incredible, beautiful thing that you help create. So, Father, as we share the word this morning and go deeper into your truths, Lord, I just pray that it's like sitting by the running river, that we can draw energy from it, that we can relax with it, we can just enjoy the power and the beauty and the majesty of your creation. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Bring the truth loudly and clearly to us, and let your spirit just be here amongst us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's an interesting picture up here. Aaron asked me beforehand, where do I find my pictures? I find them online, and a lot of times it's just I kind of throw a spiritual rope out there and kind of lasso, see what comes in. And so this morning I was talking about, we're going to be talking about pleasing God or people, and I remember an incident where Carrie and I were dating, and it was kind of trendy back in the 90s. I've seen it on a lot of TV shows, where when you didn't agree with somebody necessarily, if you had a problem with something they were telling you, or maybe it was truthful and you didn't want to hear it, they would say, talk to the hand. You ever heard that? Talk to the hand. Di, you've heard that one? Your doctor used to do that. Oh, we used to, okay. Has Pat ever done that on you? Talk to the hand. First of all, I couldn't believe that she said that to me. I wasn't into those trendy shows, so I had no clue what she meant by that. But it was just kind of funny that she, rather than me deal with it, talked to the hand, like the happy face over here. But here's the reality. Not all of us have happy faces on our hands. And if we're really honest, we've got sad faces or disgruntled faces or whatever that might be. And some of that is just in our relationship with others, maybe we're trying to please them. Maybe we're trying to please them. Maybe there's been some incidences in the past where we've had a rough relationship. Or maybe we're just trying to meet them for the first time. Or maybe it's somebody that we're impressed with or we're trying to become friends with. And we're trying to get into their good graces. We're trying to get along with them. Or we're in a situation where somebody might ask you, why are you in a good mood? What's different about you? And rather than maybe necessarily revealing the truth that I'm a Christian, that I believe in Jesus Christ, and I have hope in my life, we don't want to say that because we don't want to offend them, or we don't want to push them away, or we just don't feel it's the right time. Or we're in a situation where a joke is said or a topic is brought up that we know we ought not to be participating in, and yet we do, and we're there, and we don't say anything, and then we wonder about it later. And these are all possibilities of incidences where we might be pleasing people, kind of talking to the hand as opposed to talking to us. And God has a lot to say in the Bible about this. God has a lot to say about this situation. So let's put up the first slide, Aaron, please. Our readings are going to be three main verses, Galatians and Ephesians and 2 Timothy, and we're going to have them up on the slide. So, but if you want to get to your Bibles, please do so. But here's the quote that I want to share with you today. Leonard Ravenhill, I love his writing, said this: if we displease God, does it matter whom we please? If we please him, does it matter whom we displease? Do you understand what he's saying there? If we displease God, it doesn't matter who we're trying to please. And if we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. Because in life, here's the truth. Pleasing God displeases others. Amen? When you tell truth to people, when you speak God's truth, when you share something out of the Bible that they don't agree with, they're going to be displeased. And if you haven't bumped into that yet, stand by. It'll happen. And it's probably happened if you're just living your life. And you're talking about what church means to you or maybe your attitude about something is a little different, or you might have a different little view on something, and they ask you, why do you believe that? And the question comes around, why do you believe what you believe? Well, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Word of God, and that's what I believe. That's what I've been taught. That's what I believe. That's what my future and my faith is based on truth. So the question to you this morning, it's on your outline, the very first one, pleasing God matters. It ought to matter to you, are you pleasing God or are you pleasing man? And sometimes talking to the hand is a way of not dealing with reality. And rather than dealing and confronting and getting it taken care of, talk to the hand. That's why it popped in my mind. I can please people, and that's like talking to the hand. It's really not a conversation. Because as a believer, I have to have my answers ready, right? We all do. We're called to be ready on a moment's notice to speak truth to somebody. You don't know why God brings a person in your... We were just talking about this in Bible study. Why does God bring people into our lives? Why might somebody be sitting right next to you, start talking about a situation that's going on in their life, and then only later we realize, oh yeah, that happened to me. Or I know something. I know how I could have answered that, all right? Could have dealt with that better. Or maybe a situation happens in our lives and we know what we ought to say, but we don't say it. Talk to the hand. Well, they're not talking to you. And in many cases, when we're walking in faith, they're not talking to you anyways, are they? They're really talking to Jesus through you. Or Jesus is speaking to them through you. And so you're just that mouthpiece. You're that serving body, the servant that is being faithful and allowing God to speak through you, through your circumstances, through your experience, through your knowledge of the Word. God is allowing you to be part of His moment, and He's got a job for you. He doesn't want you to talk to the hand. He doesn't want to tell somebody, go talk to my hand. He wants to talk with you. So, Reverend Hill's basically saying this, if we're worried about displeasing God, it doesn't matter who you are trying to please, because it matters that you have displeased God. That's what we ought to take away. If we please Him, which ought to be our first priority, then it doesn't matter who we displease. Because truthfully, their opinion really doesn't matter at that point. We are here to please God. We are here to do what He says. We are to be faithful to Him. And it doesn't mean that we're not mindful of other people's feelings. It doesn't mean that we don't care about their hurt that they're going through. It doesn't mean that we're not listening. Because as I've told you many times, until I learned through action, Christ's love of me, have I ever been able to love anyone else the way they ought to be loved. And by looking at Jesus and looking at His example, looking at His obedience, and looking at how He dealt with people, have I learned my greatest lessons on how to deal with others. And it's not looking at the world. The world says, stop, you don't need that Jesus guy. You don't need God. You don't need your religion. You don't need the Bible. We'll teach you. We'll show you. We can teach you to be tolerant. We can teach you to not be bigoted. We can teach you, that's out of one side of their mouth, and the next moment, they're calling you a bigot because of what you believe and about your faith. And it doesn't match up. It doesn't line up. So, I love what Ravenhill's saying. So your answer in your little fill-in-the-blank, the very first one, pleasing God not only matters, but it ought to matter to you. Because that's ultimately what we're supposed to be doing, pleasing Him. So, all right, next slide, please. So here's some scriptures that I talked about, the three verses that we had. The first one in Galatians 1:10, this is Paul talking. Paul wrote this right at the beginning of the book of Galatians. The church in Galatia was having a problem. They had leaders in the church. They had multiple leaders, and there was not just necessarily one church. Remember, this is a big city. It's probably got multiple churches, and it's all the church of Galatia, and they're all connected, but they're all different. They're not necessarily, it's not Baptist and Methodist and Christian church versus Catholic. That's not what I'm talking about. It's like neighborhoods. Because in many cases, their churches were nothing but dispersed small groups. And the pastors would get together. But there was a problem. And the problem was the leaders were not on the same page. You had believers who were pastors who were brought up by, discipled by Paul in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's all they taught. And then over here you had guys who came along and heard some of this stuff, and they brought in some of the Jewish laws and the Jewish teachings because they were trying to please the Jews. And so they were getting a mixed bag, kind of a hybrid message. And it became a popularity contest. You know, I'm not going to teach everything that Jesus says because it might offend the Jews, but I want the Jews in my church. I want the Jews. I'm trying to save those Jews. I'm trying to do the right thing. Over here, you had pastors that were just preaching the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what Paul had taught them, and those people were butting heads. Because, let's be honest, people, the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to the world. Amen? Amen. Truth hurts. But people need to hear the truth. They don't need to have their ears tickled. And this group over here was willing to do whatever it took to get those Jews to come in. And the interesting thing today, people, this is 2,000 years ago, it's still happening today. There are churches who will say what they have to say because they care more about butts in the pews than they care about people who are going to heaven. They care more about their growth, their population, their whatever, rather than speaking the truth. God's truth is offensive, is it not, Ray? There's somebody who's going to feel the little, you know, the sword of the truth hurts going in and coming out. But it's intended to heal. It's intended to give you hope. It's going to hurt because sin is painful. And when the good doctor is doing a surgery on you, it's going to hurt. But then it's going to heal. And we have hope. So in Galatians, Paul says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Wow. So he was sending out a strong message, this letter to all the churches in Galatia, am I serving Jesus Christ or am I serving people? That's a big message. And as a pastor, oh my gosh, if somebody walked up and said, Rich, your message is not the good news. You've changed it. You've done something. You've taken away from it or you're adding to it. That's not good. Not only am I offending God and Jesus, but I'm offending my brothers and sisters in Christ, other pastors who are speaking the truth. We're going to, in the first week of November, we're going to be celebrating the persecuted church around the world. There are churches being persecuted because they're preaching the truth. And sadly, because we're not under that persecution, I don't know if that means we've got a little bit more freedom, not to tell the untruth, but just to, I don't know, so much stuff is in the pulpit these days. You hear about it. It's like, where'd that come from? What book did you get that out of? Why are you even talking about that? People need to hear the truth. And then what you do with that, that's between you and God. That's what Paul's saying. If I'm trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul, of all people, knows this. He was persecuting Christians because he was trying to keep the Jews happy. That's what good Jews did. Where in God's message, anywhere, does it talk about persecuting people? It doesn't. Next one. In Ephesians 4:15, again, Paul writing a letter to a church in Ephesus says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Talk to the hand, that's not always truthful. If you don't want to speak truth to somebody, JD, that's kind of the same thing. When you're not speaking truth to a brother, if you're not speaking truth to somebody who needs to hear the truth, it's the same thing as talking to the hand. You're having a conversation that really is not meaningful. You understand the connection I'm making there, right? God wants you to speak truth to somebody, And if you're not, if you're trying to please them, if you're trying to tickle the ears, or you're more worried about how they're going to feel about you when you tell them the truth, you might as well not have that conversation. Because it's not a conversation of love. And that's what he's talking about. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When we walk in faith, when we share the good news, when we speak truth to brothers and sisters, when we share those painful truths to others that need to hear the truth, we mature. We grow. It's hard, but it's part of our faith building also. And I can tell you this, as a brother who needed to hear the truth, I needed to hear that truth. And if somebody hadn't thrown out that truth to me, I could have drowned. I could have died. I could have not heard the truth and be in eternity. Do you want to risk that? Do you want to risk holding back because you might be offensive? Is that what you want? When you go up and see Jesus and Jesus says, why did you do that? Why did you not do what I asked you to do? Then finally, next one. In 2 Timothy 4:3, it says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. You know what that means, right? They're not going to put up with the truth. Why would that ever happen? Why would people not want to hear the truth? Bert, why would anybody not want to hear the truth? What do you think? Maybe it convicts them? They feel guilty? What else? Karen, why would you think somebody might not want to hear the truth? It hurts. The pain is there's going to be pain. Right? Louie, I mean, would you rather me tell you the truth or sugarcoat it? Paul, when you got your diagnosis, what did you want to hear? Some fable, some story? No, we want to know the truth so we can do the right thing and take the next steps, right? Now, again, as we even talked about this morning, sometimes when we're in a situation, God brings us together with somebody, the greatest gift we could do is just shut up. Maybe it's just us being with that person that counts. Maybe it's just a moment of having a shoulder or an arm or holding hands and praying with somebody. But maybe God's saying, let her rip. Speak the truth to them. This person is going the wrong way. Maybe it's a brother and sister. Oh my gosh, that's even more desperate. Because they know the truth. And we need to get them right back with Christ. And maybe that's why Christ has you there. Now, we deliver the message and let Christ do the job and the Holy Spirit. But there are people walking this earth who have not a clue about what where they're going. And that ought to make us pause. So it says this, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say. Hear. I have no personal experience with this because I'd probably run if I saw it, but if I was ever in a church and they were more worried about watering the message down or the truth down, and there are churches, I've heard this, they're not even using the Bible anymore. Yeah. That's that look, yes. Because the minute you open this up and start speaking truth, oh my gosh, people are going to get offended. People are going to hear the truth. And they're not going to like it. And if they don't like the message, guess what they do? They walk out the door and they don't come back. Is that what you're worried about? That they won't come back? How about you're worried about them going to hell? That's what they need to hear. So Paul, the Bible has a lot to say about this. The word is offensive. Not because it's offensive, it's because it's the truth. And people don't like to hear it. I know when I was living my sinful life and walking my own way and strutting my stuff and thought I was God's gift to humanity, tongue in cheek, of course, I was learning some hard, hard lessons. I'm surprised that I could stand up here today with some of the risks that I took and the stupid things I did that God had a reason for me to stick it out. and he put people in my life. And finally, he got my attention. And he got all yours attention as well. He knocked and you heard. But this is scary. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And what do they want to hear? If they don't want to hear the truth, what do they want to hear? Barb, what would they want to hear? Anybody? Whatever makes them happy. You said the same thing almost at the same time. What makes you feel good? And I certainly will not make you feel guilty. You know? When I dealt with the discipline issues at my school, that was an experience. 3-4 years of dean a student, and I heard every excuse, every story, every wah. And a lot of times it was they didn't want to take ownership of owning the problem. And Aaron will tell you this, and if Jake was sitting here and Zachary was, I always say, own it. If you did it, own it. That's the first step. You own it. You make apologies if you need to make apologies. You turn away, and you move on. Because that's where progress happens. When you finally acknowledge, I messed up, that was my mistake, then you can do something about it. But it's like culture is teaching kids today, it's everybody else's problem. Don't blame it on everybody else. It's your upbringing. It's what you didn't have growing up. It's where you grew up. I didn't have two parents in my household growing up, but I had some good friends, dads who cared. And my mom was always watching out who my friends were. You know, those kind of moms, you know, asking the story of who you were at, when you were at. And we all knew we had rules. We had, my mom was a mom, a parent. And today, sadly, and it's been a while, but there are some parents who are more worried about being friends than being a parent. And that's dangerous, I think. Do you think that? Parents want to be friends instead of being a parent. And we wonder why we have issues. So, we see it as kids, we see it as adults, and we certainly see it in our politicians, do we not, people? Oh my gosh, they'll say whatever they want to say to get your vote. And then once they're in the door, what did you say? Huh? That's not what I said. Sometimes you even have it on videotape and they still will deny that they even said it. Really? Let's watch this together. So these are what Scripture says, three of them off the top. Let's put the next slide up, Aaron. So let's talk about, this is just my, when I did a little research for this, and I just said, what is this people pleasing or man's approval? What does that look like? And I got these, saying, these are the words that came up. Here's a great quote. It says, I really cannot give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure. Try to please everyone. You can't please everyone. And I don't, it doesn't, that's not a Christian quote, by the way. But it's true, is it not? You cannot try to please everybody. Because if you do, you're going to make somebody mad at you. But here's some things. Go on, next slide. Here's some other words that came up when I did that. I found that verse and I go, what would that look like? Trying to please people. So here's what pops up. Prideful. When you try to please people, when you're trying to make everybody happy, when you're trying to hold back from offending somebody, it takes a little bit of pride to do that. Because you know what you're saying, right? What I believe and what I'm thinking is more important than what God wants me to do. That's pride. That's pride. I'm smarter than God. That's pride. Number two. It's also arrogant. I know more than God. Waiting for those lightning bolts to come down when I was saying that God knew my heart. I'm not smarter than God, but sometimes we act that way. Why would we want to hold back the truth? Why would we want to hold the antidote back? Cures the greatest virus of all called death. Why would we want to hold back that truth? Number three, it's dishonest. I love those commercials, you know, the Abraham Lincoln one, and his wife is trying on the dress, and it's a commercial for insurance, and she goes, Abe, does this make my backside look big? And Honest Dave is sitting there going, mm. It's Twix. Twix does it? Okay. Have you ever been asked a question and you don't want to respond? You know what I'm talking about? It's those hard questions where you got to sit there and think about it. And think about it. And keep thinking about it. Because I know what my flesh wants to do. My flesh wants to get it out there. You know, it's like a T-ball. It's kind of put up for you to smack it over the fence. And it's going to be smart. It's going to be, you know. And it's something that we all have to go through. I notice it with my kids sometimes. We all go through those joking stages where everything sounds real funny and everybody laughs and chuckles. So we start to make everything start to sound funny and to get those chuckles. But then there's sometimes where we can say something and it hurts somebody by mistake. Ooh, we didn't mean to say that, or I went a little too far, right? Dishonest. When somebody needs to hear the truth, they need to hear the truth, not anything watered down. That's how I approach the pulpit. That's how I approach Scripture. Jesus Christ is the way, the only way. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, people. Eternity is forever. That's how I look at it. Number four, coveting. That's one of those scriptural theological words. What does that mean? Do not covet. It means what you have, I want. And sadly, when you start thinking about that, you start looking at what you don't have. You start looking at the neighbors and you start, you know, look at what happened to Paul or to David. He coveted Bathsheba. And look at where it led to him and the problems in his household. That's coveting. And then lastly, being selfish. If I'm prideful and arrogant and not telling somebody the truth, and I'm coveting that relationship more than my relationship with Jesus, I'm selfish when I'm not sharing the truth. I'm holding it because I think I'm right. And I think I have the authority to dish it out or not dish it out. But here's, I found this story, and the farmers here would understand, well, we all would. I don't know who this guy is. Ralph Woods was talking in this book written by C.R. Gibson on Wellsprings of Wisdom. That caught my attention. And he said this, an ambitious farmer, unhappy with the yield of his crops. Anybody unhappy with the yields of your crops around here? They could always be better, right? That's why you guys sit at Quick Gets and compare notes, right? Drinking coffee. I'm going to find out the next greatest thing. And I even had some of the best farmers in this room. Remember when I had the magic corn seeds? And we're going to do that thing and the magic seeds, and it didn't work. But so he heard of a highly recommended new seed corn. A new seed corn. So, you know, what are you going to do? Ooh, I got to try this out. He bought some. This is a true story. He bought some and produced a crop that was so abundant, his astonished neighbors asked him to sell them a portion of the new seed. But the farmer, afraid that he would lose a profitable competitive advantage, refused. The second year, the new seed did not produce as good a crop. And when the third year crop was still worse, it dawned upon the farmer that his prized corn was being pollinated by the inferior grade of corn from his neighbor's fields. You see, that's selfishness. That's the definition of selfishness right there. I have something, and I'm not going to share it with you. That's the heart that Paul's talking about when he's describing the arrogance that we have and the selfishness and the coveting, the heart of the person who won't share the truth. Talk to the hand. That's what they're talking about. That heart right there, I mean, and we could identify with this. That doesn't mean we would do that, of course, but it could happen to us. I've got one leg up. I'm not going to share it. And then you find out that it's being degraded through the pollinization with everybody else's stuff. So let's talk about this. Let's put it up. What is the real issue? The next slide. Let's talk about the problems first. In John 1 through 1:12, it says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The first problem is the next, Aaron, put the next point up. When we are prideful, when we do not share the truth, when we are trying to be people pleasers, it takes the focus off of God and puts it on us. Because if God's telling us to do something and we arrogantly believe we know better, It's no longer God's truth, but us. And it's putting the focus on us and not on God. What that verse is telling us is that he gave the right to become children of God. When we're children of God, it's about him, not us. And if we're truly children of God and we're walking faithfully in obedience, it's all eyes on God, not on us. So as a believer, remember this. Number, the next one. Here's the second problem. In John 15:5, we know this verse. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. People-pleasing, the second problem is, it doesn't work. It does not work. As much as you're going to try, eventually it's going to come around and bite you. Eventually it's going to come around. The truth is going to be revealed. And here's what you got to deal with on the other side of it. If the person that you haven't been properly dealing with or you've been telling the untruths to or holding back, they're going to look at you and go, why didn't you tell me the truth? And then you got to deal with that and unpack that one. Why did you not speak truth to me when I needed to hear it? Why did you hold back? I needed to hear it, and it was like I could have avoided the pain. I could have avoided the situation. When you're people pleaser, you're avoiding the truth for somebody else. Don't do that. It doesn't work. And then lastly, in Proverbs 29:25, it says this, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Put it up, Aaron. What that tells us, it's sin. People pleasing is a sin. Number one, it takes our eyes off of God. It doesn't work, and it's sin. When we fear man more than God, we're sinning. When I fear telling you the truth to the point where I'm not going to share a truth from God, I'm not going to open up the word for you, I'm not going to speak truth to you, that's a sin. That's denying God through you. Those are the problems. So, what do we do? Next slide, please, Aaron. So here's the truth. Steve Jobs from Apple said this, if you want to make everyone happy, do not be a leader. Sell ice cream. It's true. Don't be a leader. Leaders take risks. Leaders are going in a direction. Maybe there's a vision. God's given a vision for this ministry to go a certain direction. Or God's given you some insight, some discernment. You need to speak truth to somebody. But if you're all about making people happy, go sell ice cream. So here's our takeaway. Follow and learn from Jesus and repent. You see, I left you a big blank spot down there on your sheet. It says, ways to get past pleasing people. And I gave you three of them right here. First one is, follow. Do you follow Jesus? If you don't, follow him. Or if you have been following him and you stopped following him, get back in the habit of following him again. And what does that mean? Spiritual disciplines, reading your word, praying faithfully, fellowshipping. The second one is to learn from Jesus. I can't tell you the number of people, myself included, I can read this and I can quote it, but I'm not practicing it. If you truly say that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you ought to be following him. And you follow him because you've learned from him. I want to practice and I want to do life like Jesus. Jesus was the least people-pleasing person you'll ever find. Amen? He could have sat there and gotten off the cross. He could have gotten out of the beatings. He could have gotten away from the being spit on, the name-calling, just by pleasing people, right? All he had to do was make the Jews happy. Problem goes away. He could have done that. But why did he not? Because he loved God more than people. He loved God first. And because he loved God first, then he could love people the way he needed to love people. That's what I said earlier. I can only love my wife the way I need to love her because Jesus loved me first. And when I felt that love, when I know that love, when I've experienced it and I see how it's modeled by Jesus, can I now know how to love my wife? My first marriage was a complete disaster because I didn't know how to love. But I didn't know Jesus either. Now, that doesn't give me an excuse. I'm going to be accountable for that. I know that. But I had lots of opportunities before then to know Jesus, and I didn't. So follow Jesus, and if you're not, follow him. Learn it, and if you're not learning from him, how do you learn more? Get back in the Word. Come to class. Come to Bible studies. Come to services. And then finally, when it's on your heart and you realize you've been doing that talk to the hand thing with people, I could make us do like they do in school. I could have you get out a pen and make a smiley face on your palm right now. So every day you look at it, you're going, oh yeah, that's what Rich talked about today. Don't put those smiley faces on your palms, people. Speak from your heart. Speak out of love. Speak out of the fact that Christ loved you, and that's how you ought to love others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful message of not being a people pleaser. Amen? Everybody in this room, let's say it together. I'm a God pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. And Father, we know that we do sin, we make mistakes. And Father, I pray that your Spirit helps us when we cross those boundaries and we're not doing the things that you've asked us to do. The people-pleasing thing is a sin. It's not from you. It's not your best. I struggle speaking truth to people at times when they need to hear it. So Father, when those opportunities come and those moments come where we're a little, you know, our knees are shaking and we're getting a little sweaty palms and we're nervous, Lord, bring calm to us. Let us know, remind us, Lord, that it's your truth and not our truth. And maybe that's the message that person needs to hear at that moment. We don't know. But who are we to block that and to keep that from happening? Father, I don't want to be a people pleaser. I want to always be a God pleaser. But I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to fall short. So, Father, I just pray for your forgiveness. And like I said up there, repent. When I do that, Lord, forgive me. Show me where I need to be bolder and where I need to have more courage. It's hard. It's hard speaking truth to people. But, Lord, all I got to do is look at Jesus. Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth to anybody who needed to hear it. So, Father, thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for everybody here. And all God's people said, amen.